A reading from the letter of St. James. Come now, you rich, weep and wail over your impending miseries. Your wealth has rotted away, your clothes have become moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and that corrosion will be a testimony against you. I will devour your flesh like a fire. You have stored up treasure for the last days. Behold, the wages you withheld from the workers who harvest your fields are crying aloud, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on earth in luxury and pleasure. You have fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. You have condemned. You have murdered the righteous one. He offers you no resistance. Ebum Domini. Blessed are the poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven is theirs.
Blessed are the poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven is theirs.
This is the way of those whose trust is folly, the end of those contented with their lot. Like sheep they are herded into the netherworld. Death is their shepherd, and the upright rule over them. Quickly their form is consumed, the netherworld is their palace. But God will redeem me from the power of the netherworld by receiving me. Fear not when a man grows rich, when the wealth of his house becomes great. For when he dies, he shall take none of it. His wealth shall not follow him down. Though in his lifetime he counted on himself blessed, they will praise you for doing well for yourself. He shall join the circle of his forebears, who shall never more see light.
Blessed are the poor in
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Marcum. Jesus said to his disciples, "Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt becomes insipid, with what will you restore its flavor? Keep salt in yourselves, and you will have peace with one another. Verbum Domini. We hear a very sharp rebuke today by St. James toward those whose lives reflect greed and attachment to wealth and material goods. And he sharply criticizes those who love their wealth and their belongings more than God. They live for their wealth, or they live for pleasure to accumulate material goods. It's become an idol in their lives. St. Paul would also give the warning that the love of money is the root of all evils. And it's through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced their hearts with many pangs. And again, he would say that those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. So St. James, in our reading today, he's alarmed. He shows alarm toward those who hoard their wealth for themselves. And he warns about their coming judgment. He says, weep and wail. In other words, repent. You know, to keep in mind that our judgment is coming. We will all face the Lord. St. James also brings to light an accusation of cheating workers and has strong words for those who do so. It certainly is possible to be caught up so much in the accumulation of one's wealth that one cheats their workers and withholds giving justly earned wages. St. James says to those who do this, you have murdered the righteous one. Particularly for a day laborer, to deprive them of their pay and wages, it would be to take away their living. The book of Sirach says that to take away a neighbor's living is to murder him. To deprive an employee of his wages is to shed blood. So to sum up this reading, again, which is very strong, St. James is warning about using wealth selfishly and unjustly. And it's not an easy passage to read or to hear, but it's a good examination of conscience too. What is my relationship with money, with riches, with wealth in general? And we know that we cannot take riches, we cannot take wealth with us into the next life. It's to be used in this life. Our call is to live a modest and a simple lifestyle and to do what is in our power to assist those in need. And our responsorial psalm today is from Psalm 49, and that continues this example and this topic of examining our relationship with riches, with wealth. The psalm notes that when one dies, they do not take their wealth with them. Death, in a sense, robs us of any wealth or riches that we have. And the psalm gets us to examine whether we're placing our trust in God or whether we're placing our trust in the riches of the world. And the refrain from the psalm is from the first beatitude in St. Matthew's gospel that our Lord gives, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is how we can combat a tendency to place our trust and our confidence in riches, to seek to be detached from wealth because of our love for God, and to see money and wealth as a means to love and to serve God and to assist others, right? Money and wealth and the accumulation of them is not an end, but because of our wounded human nature, we tend to make them an end. So by striving to be poor in spirit, we seek to place our trust in God who provides for our needs. And one simply is poor in spirit when they seek to love God more than wealth. We seek to love God more than anything else in this life. We want to be careful and vigilant as we do not want to substitute wealth for trusting in God's providence. Again, that is a temptation. The more I have, the more I accumulate, the more I put my confidence in that rather than in trusting in God's providence. The poor in spirit desire to live a simple life, using what they have for the glory and the love of God and assisting others in need. Very practically speaking, St. Teresa of Avila, one of the great doctors of the church, commented on just her experience of the possession and use of things. And she would say, it's when I possess the least that I have the fewest worries. And the Lord knows that, as far as I can tell, I am more afflicted when there is excess of anything than when there is lack of it. This is true in the spiritual life, right? If we indulge in the things of this life, especially in excess and unnecessary things, we tend to lose that desire for prayer, the desire for God, the desire for holiness. So we receive that renewed call today to detachment, to be poor in spirit, as we prayed in the responsorial psalm. And in the gospel, we see how seriously our Lord takes sin. He particularly emphasizes the danger of causing scandal, that is, to lead another into sin by what we say or what we do or what we fail to do. And our Lord stressed the great spiritual harm that's caused by scandal and also the importance of sparing no effort when it comes to avoiding the occasion of sin. And because mortal sin merits hell, avoiding mortal sin requires us to take a very firm and serious action in the face of temptation. No earthly good or pleasure is too costly to give up in view of eternal life with God in heaven. And our Lord uses hyperbole with the images of plucking out one's eyes or cutting off one's limbs. And of course, he's not advocating bodily mutilation, but he is using this to make a point that it's much better to suffer a little by self-denial, right, in the face of temptation, than to indulge in a life of unrepentant sin and to end up in hell, eternally separated from God. So we hear today and we're reminded in the gospel about two possible final destinations: entering into life, eternal life with God, and being thrown into Gehenna, which is an image of hell. And in light of this, it has often been recommended that we spend time reflecting and meditating upon the four last things of death, of judgment, heaven, and hell. In fact, there's a great line in the book of Sirach, chapter 7, verse 36, which tells us about the benefit of this spiritual practice of thinking of the last things. It says, "In all you do, remember the end of your life, and then you will never sin." To think of our death, think of our last moments, what that'll be like. And we want to be prepared because we don't know when that time will come. And so this practice can help lead us to abandon sin and to practice virtue in our lives. If we remember the end of our lives, and then again, to try to live each day as if it were our last. Our Lord also says today in the gospel that everyone will be salted with fire. This has been understood to refer to the temptations and the sufferings and the trials that all of us must undergo in this life. St. Peter would say in his first letter, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, which though perishable is tested by fire, may redound to praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So we should expect to endure trials and sufferings in this life as followers of Christ. And we know that in God's providence, they purify and refine us. I think back to just a couple weeks ago when we celebrated the feast, a memorial of St. Damian of Molokai. Remember when he was asked once after he had contracted leprosy, he was asked, "How are you holding up?" He said, "By the grace of God, I'm able to keep moving forward." And this he saw, he said, "This is a means of my sanctification, the suffering that I'm enduring." He saw God's hand in what he was being permitted to suffer, to grow in holiness, to deepen his union with the Lord. So we pray today for a greater desire for heaven, for a hatred for sin, and the strength to avoid those near occasions of sin in our daily lives. And we also ask for the grace to grow in simplicity of life, seeking to be poor in spirit and to be more generous and open to the needs of others.